think the thing that you learn when you're traveling is amazing, like how much more you learn when you're actually doing it, you know, than in the classroom.
Students bring salsa dancing and lots of pictures from the Caribbean, home to Skagway. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. The next Alaska-class ferry could be ferrying between Juneau and Skagway within 3 years if all goes well with funding. Deputy Commissioner of the State Department of Transportation Jim Beadle told a legislative panel that the first vessel would be a day boat for Skagway, Haines, and Juneau. The Alaska Marine Highway System's Roger Weatherall says the same, adding that it will not only increase service for upper liners, but also begin to replace an aging fleet. The Malaspina, which serves the Northern Lynn Canal during summer, is one of those relics in the Marine Highway's assortment of 11 ships. It's more than 40 years old and is becoming difficult and costly to maintain.
Well, the Alaska Class Ferry, you know, that'll be a vessel that's primarily intended to serve Lynn Canal and the Southeast Panhandle. It should be a very exciting time when we're able to find a contractor to begin building the ship, and provide just an extra added service to Alaskans. But at the same time, it gives us that momentum to move forward and start looking at replacement vessels to take the place of some of these ships that are 35 years old or older.
According to Weatherall, funding is partially there. In fact, Governor Sean Parnell is requesting $60 million from the Alaska Marine Highway Vessel Replacement Fund to pay for a new ferry. The federal government would match that with another $60
million. You know, we've got that intention of going forward with trying to find out who can place a bid on constructing the ship. It could take, you know, anywhere from 4 to 5 years to build it, so we do want to get going and get a request for a proposal out there and have somebody start bidding on it.
Beadle says day boats are cheaper to operate than the larger vessels now on the route. A day boat would also mean a smaller crew and no staterooms. Weatherall says there's no discussion at this point as to where the ferry's home port will be, but Haines still has high hopes that it'll spend its off hours at the Haines Ferry Terminal. The Haines Assembly passed a resolution last November supporting funding and construction of the ferry, calling it a virtual lifeline for access to critical medical care, school events, commerce, and job opportunities. Furthermore, the resolution encouraged the highway system to home port it in Haines, following an earlier pledge to develop the Haines Ferry Terminal into a regional hub that'll support daily service to the ports of Juneau and Skagway.
You know, I'm sure that the Alaska Class Ferry will serve primarily, as I said, Southeast Alaska, including Haines and Skagway. And, you know, Juneau is basically the hub. So, we can envision service between Haines, Skagway, and Juneau, and maybe some points in between, and maybe south.
A group of Skagway kids returned home last week talking about phosphorescence, bacalaitos, and boricuas, all to the rhythm of a salsa dance. Blame it on the school's first official trip off the mainland to Puerto Rico.
It went very, very well.
Corey Thole is the Skagway science teacher. He and a group of parents chaperoned the school trip, which was part of a Smithsonian program that organizes educational excursions for students.
When you sign up for these trips or you look at them and what they sell you and what they have listed, you know, it all looks good on paper, but until you actually get to do it, you don't know how valuable it's going to be or what the experience will be, and it thoroughly exceeded my expectations and the students as well. We were all very impressed with how much stuff that we got to do, and not just what was listed on the itinerary, but all of the extra kind of cultural things that we got to do.
And the kids did get a blend of both cultural and educational experiences, says Thole. They got to practice as much Spanish as they wanted to and put their classroom science lessons to work.
In terms of science, it was fantastic. The whole trip altogether was a nonstop cross-curricular educational experience. It related history and culture and the sciences very, very well.
For example, they learned that while the 1898 Klondike Gold Rush was getting underway in Skagway, the U.S. was simultaneously taking over Puerto Rico in the Spanish-American War.
Certain things like that, like our Tongass National Forest being designated or kind of given that designation by Teddy Roosevelt in 1902, and El Yunque National Forest in Puerto Rico being given its designation in 1903 by the same individuals.
The students also studied biology and ecology in the mangrove forests, caves, bays, all the while comparing the wildlife there to what lives in Alaska in what they called cross-curricular studies.
getting to do some geology and chemistry and chemical equilibrium with the formation of the Kamui Caverns, and seeing the, you know, third largest cavern system in the world and the largest tropical underground river, and just how long it took to form that. You know, it takes anywhere from 200 to 1,000 years to form 1 cubic inch of stalagmite or stalactite, and these caverns themselves are gigantic.
Caitlin Serdick is a junior and said the caverns were a highlight of her trip.
Our trip every day was filled with, like, tons of stuff. We would get up at 7 a.m. and it was nonstop, so about dinner time. My favorite part had to be the caverns that we visited. It was pretty interesting to see them. They're really old. The one we visited was 120 feet high, and to create 1 cubic inch of stalactite, it took 200 to 1,000 years.
Thole continued describing the endless fields of science the trip touched on.
Insects and crabs and such things that were there, snorkeling and seeing, being able to kind of compare and contrast our marine life to their marine life, and similarities and great differences, and then swimming in Phosphorescent Bay, getting to do some geology and chemistry.
Senior Thomas E2 described the Phosphorescent Bays, which was where some of the kids first swam in a warm ocean.
I think the coolest, like, as far as just for fun, we did a lot of swimming, and the swimming was, like, it was just really memorable just because we had so many friends there, like, in one group, one place. We had so many people swimming in the ocean, in the pools and stuff, and that was really cool. But at one time, we went to this place, it's called the Phosphorescent Bay, and there's these organisms in the water that, like, when they're disturbed, they light up as, like, a defense mechanism, and they light up, and, it looks like you're, like, in fairy dust, sort of. It's really, really cool. And so, like, when you swim, you just feel like there's just, like, these little glowing dots, like, all over your body. And it's just really cool. And I think that was, because you swim at night. So it was pretty cool. You kind of feel like Peter Pan.
Mickey Wilson is a senior and enjoyed comparing tropical and temperate rainforests.
My favorite thing is probably when we got to take, like, an hour hike through the tropical rainforest, or what really seemed like the jungle to me, just because we're so used to walking around through our rainforest, and it's, like, really dense, but there it was a whole different type. You go through, and every step you took, you saw, like, lizards and different birds, and there was kooky frogs out there. But then you gotta go up the cloud, like, these old, like, kind of, like, Spanish-looking buildings that, like, rose up, so you click over on top of it. And then we got to take another hike, like, a little bit later, and we got to go to a waterfall and swim in it, which was pretty neat. But just along the pathway was pretty cool because there was a lot of, like, snails. It was just neat to see a whole different type of rainforest than we're used to.
The kids also spent some time studying physics and astronomy at an observatory. Again, teacher Corey Thole.
There was a lot of these cross-curricular connections that we got to do with Alaska and Puerto Rico, and then getting to see the observatory and pulling physics and astronomy into it and what they're learning about the world and our universe, and it's really quite endless what we learned and what we got to do.
But it wasn't all study, says Thole. The kids came back with skills they can't learn in Skagway School.
Like, they got to go and take pretty much professional salsa dance lessons and get introduced to the salsa dance lessons, and then go to a salsa restaurant where they had a live band and practice what they learned during their lessons, and see an old San Juan and the markets and all those things that we don't really necessarily have here in Alaska and as part of the Caribbean culture, and how their history has influenced their lifestyles and what they do and listen to.
Amanda Jensen is a senior, too.
Also, a really fun thing that we did was we went salsa dancing. Yeah, I get more of a cool experience. All of us went, so it was lots of fun.
And the students did get a few extra lessons in travel. They learned how to get by in a very different place, and students like E2 say they're more confident about traveling away from home now.
I know I want to travel, that's for sure. Definitely want to travel. Definitely because of this trip, big time, made me want to travel. To see everything that you can, you know? And I think that was definitely the most valuable thing that I learned as far as traveling, you know, and just learning while you travel. Like, the things that you learn when you're traveling is just amazing, like how much more you learn when you're actually doing it, you know, than in the classroom.
Thole agreed that those lessons are also valuable and not found in a classroom.
A lot of the kids want to go traveling, and so this kind of long, you know, travel to a very culturally distinct and different place from where we were, I think kids got a lot. Students got a lot out of that, in that what it's like to travel in a very different place, and some of the things that you need to know and the logistics and just kind of what to expect. How to, you know, showed them how to use Lonely Planet travel books and guidebooks and that sort of thing to help them navigate and learn just a little bit more about what was going on besides just what they were told or read about our itinerary. That's one of the great benefits, I think, is on top of everything else, just having the kids be able to get that experience and to see, you know, what it's like and how to go about traveling and enjoy yourself and be safe.
If you want to hear more about the Skagway students' trip to Puerto Rico, go to their presentation Tuesday night. The kids invite the public to their talk in the Skagway School's multipurpose room at 7 p.m. Tuesday, May 4th.
All of the students were assigned different parts of the trip itself, and on Tuesday evening, 7 p.m., we are holding a public presentation for the community, and we invite municipality assembly members and the school board members and parents and all of our donors and the community in total to come, and so that we can thank them for their support and to show them where their money went in their donations and what the students got out of it and how beneficial it was, not only on educational purposes, but really life experiences in total.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell.